as with pretty much any scripture you might come across, there's an awful lot going on in this reading that we've heard from Acts today. And I'm not going to attempt to cover every aspect of it, but I just wanted to draw our attention to one or two things which kind of leapt out to me in the last week as I've been reading and rereading that scripture. Things which are perhaps relevant to us as individuals and to us as a church. Pentecost is, in many traditions and in many church backgrounds, it's regarded and celebrated as being the birthday of the church. That in this very particular outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's described in Acts chapter 2, and then the subsequent spread of Christian communities, the church, as we have come to understand it, began, was birthed. And additionally, as part of the Methodist tradition, which we are here, we also celebrate on this Sunday what has come to be known as the Methodist founders, John and Charles Wesley's, their conversion. Conversion being a bit of a misnomer, it was what they described as a kind of particular powerful meeting with God, or that God's Spirit challenging and touching them in new ways, ways which encouraged them in the ministry and in the life that they were, to be fair, already involved with. But there's something particular happened to both brothers who felt a move of the Spirit, and they were never quite the same after that. And so this Sunday, Pentecost, is also a time when we particularly celebrate the beginnings of the Methodist Church, of which Histon Methodist is one example. And of course, as well as being occasions for celebration, birthdays for some are also a time of looking back, of considering where we've got to, and of looking to the future. My best friend growing up took this kind of notion of reflection on his life to such extremes that he made his birthdays every year completely and utterly miserable. He would start the evening by having friends round, going out for dinner, or having people round to his house for a bit of a party, and with a kind of gifts and jollity and a drink or two, and by the end of it he was bemoaning everything that had gone wrong in the previous year, and how he'd failed to live up to his hopes and expectations, and how he was basically a failure of a human being. And he took this to such an extreme that one year, when he was about 20, he just decided to celebrate his birthday on his birthday, and he allocated a random other day about 3 months before that as a time of sort of morbid self-reflection and introspection. And it kind of worked. It came to his actual birthday was in November, and every June he would sit down and have that kind of reflection on everything that had taken place, and then think about the things that were to come. He was a bit of a character anyway, but I think there's something in that, there's something in birthdays, and there's something in getting to serious, significant milestones that give us pause for thought, that give us the opportunity to reflect. Where have we been over the past year or the past period of time? Where have we got to now? Where are we going? And of course, this can be something that's very exciting to us as we consider future possibilities, but also troubling and challenging. And I think that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's part of what went on that first Pentecost, and it's part of what can go on if we open ourselves to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us today. For me, as I continue to consider the different styles of ministry we've been experimenting with in Cottenham, with the community centre and the community there, today, the birthday of the church, is a time to pause and reflect on where we have come these past few years, where we are now, and what might come over the coming years. It's time to honestly consider those initiatives which have not gone as well as I might have hoped, as well as those which might be seen to be bearing fruit and have real potential. And it's also a time to look and see where there are those signs of hope and new life, to consider where God might be at work by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to look and to pray for the future of that ministry in Cottenham. Additionally, as we here look forward to September, to me joining you in your ministry here in Histon, We might want to take the opportunity today on Pentecost, but also over the coming months, to consider those same issues. Where have we come from? How has God been at work in the past? Where are we now? And what is God doing? And where are we going? And where might God be leading us by the guidance of the Holy Spirit? What might God be asking us to take up? What new thing might God be calling us to? And what might God be asking us to put down? What are those things that have run their course and it might be time to say prayerfully and thankfully, that's the end? These are the questions that I want us to be able to consider prayerfully over the coming months and years as we look to the work of the Holy Spirit as part of Histon Methodist Church. And not just within the church, but beyond these walls, with our ecumenical friends and partners, and of course with those beyond the traditional church, which is what much of my ministry up to this point has involved. Where might God's Spirit be at work in the lives of those who don't have anything to do with the traditional church currently? What might God be saying to us through them? How might we connect together and to connect with God in conversation? And with these sorts of questions and ideas in mind, a particular issue which resonates to me from this reading of the account in Acts of Pentecost is an issue of translation. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples, and God of course, started from a place of deep tradition in the Jewish faith. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they made connections with those of different languages and cultures, starting in today's account with the Jewish people of different nationalities, but ultimately extending to the ends of the earth and to all people groups, a work that is of course ongoing. Now, one reading of the story of Pentecost is that it was in some ways an inversion of the Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel, where people ended up scattered and unable to understand one another anymore, where a common language was decimated and people were unable to communicate with one another. Pentecost, in that making understandable to all people the language and the praise of the disciples, of the language of God becoming understandable to all people, is a return to inclusion, to community, and to the possibility of all being able to understand both God and one another in Jesus Christ. As the account we've read says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Translation wasn't required by those listening, although of course they had the Jewish heritage to draw on and build on. And it says this, so this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So in communicating with those gathered, the starting point for those disciples was the world and the tradition of those who were listening. And by starting with their world, by translating the love of God into a vocabulary which they could understand, of course by the power of the Spirit, the gospel began to be revealed. The gospel of Jesus Christ can and should translate to the culture of ours. Our culture and language, the culture and language of the traditional church, shouldn't be either a necessity or a blockage for others in encountering that gospel. Rather, by being open to the work of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and by an awareness and an engagement and an immersion in the culture that we find ourselves in and that we ourselves are part of, we might seek to make the gospel something which can be understood and lived by those from outside of our church culture. Now, this was a steep learning curve for the disciples, as from Pentecost onwards, the good news spread out and continues to spread out further into new cultures and people groups. And if you have a spare hour or so to read through the Acts of the Apostles, you see that the story expressed in that amazing book is one of both the refining of the gospel message, but also the broadening of its scope and reach. The tradition, both of the Jewish tradition and the very early church tradition, is pushed and stretched to the verge of breaking point, whilst always remaining true to the core of the Jewish and fledgling Christian faith. And this is something that I think, and we come back to celebrating John and Charles Wesley's conversion too, I think this was something that the Wesley brothers implicitly and explicitly grasped too at the origins of the Methodist movement. They saw and understood that the traditional church of their time was not connecting with those who needed it most. And so whilst always, and they always did this, they always stayed firmly rooted in their tradition and their faith, they engaged and deliberately went on a process of engaging with the culture around them, making the gospel comprehensible for those for whom the church was a barrier to God, and by always, as much as was possible, remaining open to the work and gifts of the Holy Spirit to empower and to envision their ministry. And as with the early apostles who we've already thought about, and with many others in the history of the church, the Wesley brothers and those working with them saw God at work when they opened themselves up to the Spirit whilst engaging with those in the culture around them. And for me, this story of Pentecost and these origins of the Methodist movement, of which we are to greater or lesser degrees a part here this morning, to me this relates to my hopes for Cottenham and to what we might hope for in Histon over the coming months and years. It also relates, of course, to the kind of radical and boundary-pushing initiative that Michael has shared about this morning, really getting in and amongst the culture to see what God might be doing and what God might do. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, a gift which needs to be received. Let us this morning not grow weary or cynical of opening ourselves up to that gift, opening ourselves up to the possibility of what God's Spirit might do in our lives if we are willing to let him. The Spirit of God is a gift of new life for those who have never explicitly encountered God. The Spirit is a gift of reinvigoration for those of us who might have experienced church life for many, many years. The Spirit is a gift of revitalization and creativity for the church and for the Christian tradition. The Spirit is a gift. So let us never give up asking those big questions of where God has been at work in the past, where God is at work now, and where God is calling us in the future. And let us not grow weary of opening ourselves up to the power and work of Jesus in our lives and in the world through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.